Meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board, if you would, please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Irene. Would you call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Albano.
Here.
Mr. Scully is excused. Ms. Schenck.
Here.
Mr. Lemon.
Here.
Mr. Gabriel is excused. Mr. Hilton is excused. Ms. Nicholson.
Here.
Ms. Bott.
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Our first item of business is approval of the meeting minutes from the last meeting, May 18th. Are there any questions or corrections about the minutes? Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Ms. Schenck.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
The motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. Our next item is the Grand Reserve East Subdivision Master Plan, application 5097. Who'll be making the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody. Ray Tyner, Deputy Chief Development Officer. This property was rezoned, or actually was annexed into the city sometime last year, and then the Planning Board made a recommendation to City Council for a rezoning and a future land use map amendment after it was annexed into the City of Palm Coast. It was zoned SFR1. And now is the time for what we call a subdivision master plan. They go through a platting process. It's a three-step process, okay? You have the subdivision master plan, the preliminary plat, and then final plat. The subdivision master plan is more of a planning exercise, a 35,000-foot look at the project. Does it generally meet the dimensional standards? We look at that, but it's not all the technical infrastructure that would be part of a preliminary plat. So it goes through a specific process. It's heard by the planning board. Does it make good planning sense? Does it meet our requirements that Ms. Linz will go through when she does her staff presentation? So with that, our planner, Estelle, will give the staff presentation.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board members. This project is Grand Reserve East. It's a subdivision master plan. It's a 141.47 acre site. It's located on the east side of Roberts Road, approximately a little bit over a half a mile north of State Road 100. The Grand Reserve East is proposed for 217 single-family lots. As Mr. Tyner mentioned, it was annexed in last year, August 17th, 2021. The Planning Board heard the request for the future land use map designations of residential, and conservation, and the zoning of single-family residential 1 and preservation on October 20th of 2021. And that was adopted by City Council on January 4th of 2022. The future land use map designation is residential. Most of it's residential. The east side of the subdivision or the property is future land use map designation of conservation. The property adjacent to the north is in the county, and that is reservation, low density, rural estate. To the east, we have residential low-density rural estate of county designation, as well as low-density Flagler Beach land use designation. The south is mixed-use overlay, that's Flagler Beach, and the west is mixed-use city. The zoning designation of the site is single-family residential 1, and it's got some preservation along the east side. The greened portion is preservation. On the east, we have R1 County, a little bit, and a little bit here of R1 County, a little sliver there. Most of it is conservation, Flagler Beach, the blue. On the south, we have PUD, Flagler Beach. To the north, we've got PUD County, PUD. And to the west, we have industrial in the city, IND1, as well as MPD zoning. The site development requirements will follow the single-family residential criteria. The minimum lot size is 6,000 square feet. The minimum lot width is 50 feet. The maximum impervious surface ratio is 75%. The maximum gross density is 7 units per acre in this zoning designation, and this project is proposing only 1.53 units per acre. The minimum building setbacks for SFR1 zoning are 20 feet for the front, the side setback is 5 feet, the rear setback is 10 feet, and if the side or the rear is facing a street, it would be a 15-foot setback. The landscape buffers for this site are for the north, none is required, and they're providing 20 feet. On the west, along Roberts Road, is required a 10-foot buffer A, and they're providing 20 feet. The south does not require a landscape buffer, and they're providing a 20-foot buffer. And on the east, along the conservation, none is required, and they're providing none. And on this site plan, you could see that they have the extensive buffering along the east side of the site. The green is the wetland and preserved areas, and they're providing the 20-foot buffer along the south and the 20-foot buffer along the north, where that's really not required. And where they were only required to provide the 10-foot buffer on the west, they're providing 20 feet. So they're proposing 217 lots, 96 of them will be 50-foot lots, and those are the pink or lavender colored lots here. 71 of them will be 60-foot lots, and those are the brown colored lots towards in the middle. And 50 of the lots will be 70-foot lots, and those are the purple lots here on the southern portion of the site. And again, the site is 141.47 acres. The density is 1.53. And again, they're allowed up to 7 units per acre in this zoning district, but they're only doing or proposing 1.53. And they do have the two required access points off Roberts Road, one to the north and the main one here on the southern portion of the site. Regarding the amenities, to meet the level of service requirements for recreation and parks as required by the comp plan, this project must provide 4.17 acres total. 2.61 acres are required for active recreation and 1.56 acres for passive or resource-based recreation. And the applicant's actually exceeding that. They're proposing active recreation here, which is a little over 3 acres. They're actually providing 5.23 acres or proposing that. On the east or south side of the entrance, they've got a over 2 acre site or area that's proposed for passive recreation. And some of the options, which they will have to provide to us in detail, the exact locations and what they are with the preliminary plat, but they're proposing an amenity center, a pool, playground, dog parks, multi-purpose fields, et cetera, for the active recreation. And for the passive and resource-based, they're proposing sidewalks and trails, gazebos and picnic tables. And there are a lot of open space areas throughout the site as well where they could provide, you know, the picnic tables. And again, we'll see all those details on the preliminary plat. The 5 review criteria from section 2.05.05 of the Land Development Code is A, it must not be in conflict with the public interest. And the proposed development is not in conflict with or contrary to the public interest, as the project will meet all applicable development standards within the Unified Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan. B, it must be consistent with the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan, and the project meets 5 goals, policies, and objectives of the comp plan as outlined in the staff report. C, must not impose a significant liability or hardship on the city. And the proposed development will not impose a significant financial liability or hardship on the city. The public infrastructure needed to support the project is already in place adjacent to the site and is adequate to serve the project. The infrastructure needed within the site, including stormwater facilities, roads, water, and sewer, shall be provided at the sole cost of the owner-developer. Furthermore, the city will collect necessary impact fees, including recreation, fire, and transportation, at the time of issuance of building permits. Must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance. The proposed development poses no unreasonable hazard, nuisance, nor does it constitute a threat to the general health, welfare, or safety of the city's inhabitants. All improvements will be newly constructed and/or developed in compliance with the Land Development Code, Building Code, and other agency requirements. The proposed development must comply with all other applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinances, regulations, or codes. The applicant has submitted or shall submit plans and permit applications as required to the various agencies having jurisdiction and shall meet all requirements of applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinances, regulations, and codes. In addition to the aforementioned review criteria for all development orders, master plans must be evaluated for compliance with standards of Land Development Code Section 2.10.04. The first criteria is A, logic of design. The site plan has been conceptually reviewed and found to meet the general standards of the Land Development Code. As an example, the conceptual plan depicts the appropriate lot sizes and dimensions, the appropriate locations and capacity of stormwater and drainage facilities, the availability and location of utilities to serve the site, the protection and buffering of wetland preservation areas, and the interconnectivity of the sidewalks and roadways. B, internal consistency. The single-family homes will be reviewed by individual permit for compliance and consistency with the land development requirements for architecture and landscaping. All subdivisions, these houses are reviewed individually and have to meet Palm Coast criteria for color, exterior building materials, roof pitch, color, landscaping requirements, such as, you know, the number of trees required is 1 per 2,500 square feet, and the type and number of foundation plantings that are required in the front and on the sides of the house. You know, if it's facing a street in the back or a canal, a public right-of-way, additional landscaping is required. So all permits will be reviewed for those things. C, impact on neighboring sites. The project is adjacent to vacant residentially zoned property to the north with mostly conservation property to the east and vacant MPD and PUD property to the west and south. A single family residential subdivision will be compatible with the neighboring properties as they are developed. To continue on the impact of neighboring sites regarding the traffic, this project is on a county road and the county will review the traffic impacts in the next step of the development process. However, the project's traffic impact study shows the 217-unit single-family project will generate 206 p.m. peak hour trips. The report concludes that all study area road segments will continue to operate under capacity at project build-out and that all study area intersections will continue to operate at the existing level of service. D, internal vehicular and pedestrian connectivity. The proposed plan is consistent with the comprehensive plan and land development code and provides two vehicular access points onto Roberts Road. The proposed plan offers internal sidewalks to serve the pedestrians and bicyclists and allows users to connect to the existing 8-foot trail along Roberts Road. E, consolidation of utilities and facilities, including stormwater, parking, and signage. The applicant will be responsible for on-site infrastructure, including utilities, an on-site lift station, and the location of stormwater facilities. These will be reviewed in further detail with the preliminary plat. To meet parking requirements, each residence is required to have a minimum 20-foot driveway and a 2-car garage. Signage will be reviewed and approved by separate permit. However, subdivisions are allowed an entrance monument sign, which must be set back a minimum of 10 feet from the public right-of-way and must be appropriately landscaped. F, public benefit from the project. Construction of this project will assist in providing for numerous construction jobs over the next 5 years or so, and the additional rooftops will encourage commercial services in Southeast Palm Coast. This project will provide more housing opportunities in Palm Coast, the preservation of high-quality wetlands, the maintenance of the estuary system, and provides buffering of residential property located in Flagler Beach. And this is a summary of the findings. A subdivision master plan requires staff to perform a conceptual review of the basic development concepts. Staff has completed this review and finds that the plans conform to the requirements of the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan for this stage of the process, and that staff comments are typical. Staff wants to emphasize that this is only a conceptual approval of the overall project and that the current comments and further technical details of the development will be reviewed and finalized during the balance of the platting process. The next steps are the preliminary plat and construction plans. These will receive an administrative review, followed by the final plat, which will have final action by City Council, and then they will be able to apply for and pull building permits. Staff recommends the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board determine this project is consistent with the Comprehensive Plan and Unified Land Development Code and approve the Subdivision Master Plan for Grand Reserve East, application number 5097, conditioned upon staff's comments as noted on the development order. And it should be noted that the traffic comments, have been addressed that were on the development order that was included with the agenda packet. So they have been removed. They did meet all of traffic's comments, and those are satisfied, just to let you know. And next, the applicant is present, and they have a presentation and are available for questions.
All right, thank you. Would the applicant care to make their presentation?
And let me...
state your name and address for the record, if you would, please. Thank you.
Good evening. Alex Acree, Matthews Design Group, 7 Waldo Street, St. Augustine, Florida, 32092. With me today, we have the applicant, Ken Atley, with Atley Development Group, as well as Mr. Lance Jackson with Amherst Homes. They will be the ultimate home builder for this development. So if you have any questions for them after we're done, they are here to do so. This is just an overall aerial map, kind of outlining with the star the location of the property with respect to Palm Coast. We just highlighted a couple of parks or shopping centers or subdivisions nearby, the Palm Coast Plantation to the north, obviously the nice Wadsworth Park and Public Shopping Center. Just to the south along Roberts Road, you have Advent Health near 95. You also have the smaller subdivision immediately to the south, which will be going under construction soon, and then there's some multifamily apartments across the street. Estelle did a great job outlining all the zoning and the information associated with the project. This kind of goes over that again. Try not to repeat too much of what she already did, but it is interesting. We're surrounded by county and city of Palm Coast and city of Flagler Beach with this development. Color rendering of the site, as Estelle said, it's about just under 142 acres total. Of that, we have almost 44 acres of preserved wetlands on site, either wetlands or upland buffers that we are providing to help protect the wetlands. There are no wetland impacts associated with this development. There's 217 single family lots, 50s, 60s, and 70s, kind of just separated out in different areas. You will see a few up at the front near the amenity center that are kind of together. Those are intended to be model homes for when construction is going on. 1.53 units per acre is the density. We did a rough calculation of just the single family footprints, assuming about a 70 foot deep pad, and that's about 17% of the overall site. Another aerial, just kind of highlighting some of the aspects
Excuse
of
me.
The site.
She wants to know if you can speak up. She can't hear.
Yeah, can you try to speak up just a little louder? Yeah, maybe pull that closer to you.
You can take it out.
Is that better? Yes. Sorry about that. So this just highlights some of the aspects of the site. As Estelle mentioned, we have the two driveway connections. The main access has a 100-foot right-of-way with a divided median in the middle, which is also where the two main recreation pieces will be located, the active recreation at the amenity. And then the resource-based, kind of in that space where you have the big pond and the wetland for a nice walking trail. 50-foot right-of-way for the secondary access further to the north. Lift station kind of centrally located on the east of the site. And the stormwater ponds throughout. We got, I think it's about 21 acres total of stormwater facility, which is about 15% of the total site. And an additional almost 13 acres of just open space scattered throughout. These are just some potential renderings of amenities that could be provided. There is plans to be a clubhouse and a pool. This might not be exactly what it looks like, but just to kind of provide some clarity of what might be there. Some playground equipment, walking trails, gazebos, kind of in the resource base spaces. As I mentioned, Amherst Homes will be the home builder. Here's a couple building elevations for their homes. This is part of their Florida product. It might not be these exact ones, but this just gives some examples of the homes that they build, a two-story and a single-story concept, both with the two-car garages as required. And this is just a couple pictures along Roberts Road. The top picture is facing south at approximate location of the northern driveway connection, and then the bottom picture is facing north at the approximate location of the southern driveway connection. And with that, I am here, the applicant, as well as the home builder, to answer any questions that you all have. Again, I appreciate your time this evening.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, are there any questions from the board of the applicant or the staff?
I just have one comment.
Sure.
I just would encourage you as you go forward with, I understand this is an overall preliminary plat, we'd like to see from the school board some type of bus stop pad at the entrance, because you're going to have approximately 50 students in that subdivision.
I have one question, Estelle. Does the northern entry into the subdivision, does that line up with the driveway that's on the other side of the street? I think it's a Contemporary Machine. I couldn't quite tell.
Let's see if we go back to theirs. It looks like it does.
Okay. I couldn't tell from the pictures, though.
Alex, could you come forward again, please? He's asking if the northern entrance lines up with the driveway across the street.
Yeah, so they have three
does.
Driveways. Yeah, we're lined up with the northern driveway.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions of the staff or applicant from the board?
Go ahead.
We'll start down there and work this way, so go ahead.
I just have a comment, not necessarily a question. I know this is not at the plat stage, but with this many homes and the large scale of the homes, it's likely that there'll be parties and family gatherings on weekends and holidays. And what doesn't appear to be evident is locations for enough parking that's not going to cause traffic issues within the development. Fourth of July, holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you could have people having 20 people come. So really consider where will those people park and not just in the middle of the street that could cause a lot of issues. And then also, same again, I know this is not a plat, but where will the parking be for the recreational areas?
Yes, ma'am. It's a little over 3-acre parcel for the amenity space, so there will be adequate parking at the amenity for those. And I will get with the developer and the home builder and see where they want to possibly put some parking areas throughout the site.
Okay, next.
Will this be a gated community?
I don't believe so, but
yeah, we don't have plans to gate it.
No, sir.
Fair enough.
Any other questions from this side? Go to this side.
Is it an age-restricted community?
No, ma'am.
Any other questions from the board?
And Ms. Patty, we will certainly look at a potential bus.
You have to coordinate your plans with the city of Flagler Beach.
We do not have to coordinate with City of Flagler Beach. We have to with Flagler County.
With Flagler County.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
All right, if there are no other questions, we'll open the...
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. The gentleman who spoke from his seat, I don't know who he is.
Over here. Okay. Could you, as you responded, could you just give us your name and address for the record there?
Ken Atley, 5213 Ortega Oaks Lane, Jacksonville, Florida. And I didn't hear the question. If you...
I think because you made a comment from the back, she just needed to get your name and address for the record, that's all.
Okay.
The gentleman next to him spoke.
That was easy.
One next to him.
I would like to make one comment, though. I'd like to just point out, I've been developing for many, many decades, obviously with the gray hair, but there's only a couple of lots in this project that back up to other lots, whereas a lot of new subdivisions, you have lots backed up to each other. This is one of the most beautiful layouts we've ever been able to do because of the topo and the wetlands and whatnot, where if you look at it, you'll see very few lots don't have either a preserve or waterfront. So it's really quite lovely layout compared to a lot of the things that we've seen where you have lots backing up to one another. So I just wanted to point that out because this is really quite a beautiful layout and a plan. So if there are no other questions.
I think we need his name and address too.
Yeah, hello. My name is Lance Jackson. I'm with Amherst Homes. We're going to be the home builder on this site. My address is 8009 Corkfield Avenue, Orlando, Florida.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if there are no other questions, we'll open the public hearing. This is a public hearing. Any member of the public that wishes to address the board on this subject, please come forward, state your name and address for the record. You have 3 minutes. Anyone wish to address the board? All right, seeing none, we will close the public hearing and come back to the board for potential motion. Can you put the staff recommendation up? Hold on just a second. Okay, any member can move to approve or approve with conditions or second the motion, even if the member intends to vote against the motion. So is there a motion from the board?
I make a motion to approve application number 5097 for Grand Reserve East Subdivision Master Plan with the condition understood that they have already addressed the issue with the traffic and within the development order.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Irene, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Excuse me. Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Ms. Schenck.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
The motion carries 6-0.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to item 3, Seminole Point Rezoning, application 5064. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This application, I believe, was heard by the PLDRB last October 2021. It was adopted by City Council. It was master plan development agreement, but they went to conventional zoning. They're back again today to do a rezoning of the property to adjust some of the lot lines. I guess rumor has it that there is a potential shopping center that could be there, so they had to readjust some of the lot lines. But planner will have our Jordan Myers. We'll have the staff presentation followed by the applicant's presentation.
Good evening, Planning Board members. As Mr. Tyner mentioned, this is Seminole Point Zoning Map Amendment presentation. So with this zoning map amendment, they're only requesting 3 out of their 4 lots. So you'll notice there's a space in the middle here. They are not proposing to change the zoning of this lot, only for the lots in red. So those lots total 67.69 acres, and it's currently vacant. So closer up image, you can see US 1 here and Seminole Woods Boulevard here at this intersection. And as Mr. Tyner mentioned, the previous rezoning was done in September of last year, going from master plan development to COM3 and MFR2. This is the existing future land use map. It's all mixed use, and both multifamily residential 2 and high intensity commercial, or COM3, are existing and allowable uses in the mixed use flume. This is the existing zoning. It's multifamily residential 2 and high intensity commercial. You can see the COM3 on this piece and the piece down here, and then the multifamily 2 on this piece. Again, just the parcel is outlined in black. not this piece in the middle. This is their proposed zoning map. So you can see the commercial here has been changed to MFR2. The commercial here has gotten bigger and the MFR2 here has gotten smaller. I have a side-by-side on the next slide. So here you can see the side-by-side of the existing zoning versus the proposed zoning. So lot one, which is what this one is going from COM3 to multifamily residential 2. So that's 23.4 acres from COM3 to MFR2. And then lots 3 and 4 here is going from 35.2 acres of MFR2 to 20.9 acres of MFR2. And then going from 9.3 acres of commercial to 23.4 acres of commercial. So the change in commercial is it's null, but the increase of MFR2 is about 9.1 acres. So we go to the analysis based on 2.0505 of the Land Development Code. The proposed development must not be in conflict. This project is not in conflict. The MFR2 and COM3 zoning districts are existing. The only thing being proposed here is a reconfiguration of those zonings, and it is compatible with the proximate uses. The proposed development must be consistent with the comprehensive plan and provisions of the Land Development Code. The request is consistent in the following policies and goals of the comprehensive plan. Chapter 1, Future Land Use Element, Goal 1.1, preserve the character of residential communities. There is an existing multifamily residential project next door called Integra Woods. So this would be keeping with the character of the area. Policy 1.1.1.2, future land use designations shall permit the zoning districts listed and generally described in the following table. So that mentions that mixed-use Flume does allow for multifamily residential 2 and COM3 zoning districts. And policy 1.1.4.5, land use patterns will be required to be efficient and not disproportionately increase the cost of providing and maintaining public facilities. There's existing public facilities in this location, so it would not pose any kind of disproportionately increase the cost of providing those services. The proposed development must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship for the city. As I mentioned, the public infrastructure is in place and existing. Anything that would need to be put in would be at the expense of the developer and be up to current codes. The proposed development must comply with all other applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinances, regulations, or codes. And as mentioned, the subject property will be required to meet not the Land Development Code, the Comprehensive Plan, and any other agencies, such as St. John's River Water Management District or the Department of Environmental Protection. Whether it is consistent, we're going to 2.0603 of the Land Development Code. Whether it is consistent with all adopted elements of the Comprehensive Plan, and whether it furthers the goals and objectives of the Comprehensive Plan. As noted previously in the analysis per 2.0505 and in the staff report, the requesting zoning districts are existing. They're just being reconfigured on this site, so it does meet the comprehensive plan. Its impact upon the environment and natural resources. So this is, again, just a rezoning. So at the master site plan or technical site plan, a thorough environmental analysis will be required, and they'll make sure to meet wetland buffer requirements. And everything like that, and watch out for their floodplain. They do a floodplain on the property, which they are currently studying. Its impact on the economy of any affected area. Impacts to the Palm Coast economy are anticipated to be positive, since the project will provide numerous construction jobs over the first few years, and additionally, the residential homes will increase demand for the commercial services reasonably close to the site. They're actually part of the site. So hopefully the idea is that when the multifamily is built, it will encourage the commercial projects to come online. Its impact upon necessary governmental services, such as schools, sewage disposal, potable water, drainage, fire and police protection, solid waste, or transportation. The impact on the necessary governmental services, including those mentioned, will be done under impact fees paid by the developer during the technical site plan and construction drawing review process, and we'll cover all of those mentioned. Any changes in circumstances or conditions affecting the area? There's no changes in circumstances. compatibility with approximate uses and development patterns, including impacts to the health, safety, and welfare of surrounding residents. As previously described, the proposed rezoning will be compatible with the existing multifamily uses. Whether it accomplishes a legitimate public purpose, the subject property is located within the mixed-use designation on the Flume, and the proposed zoning districts of MFR2 and COM3 are allowable within mixed-use designation, and staff believes the site is very appropriate for the proposed multifamily residential community and high-intensity commercial uses. Public participation. There was a neighborhood meeting held on June 8th at the Hilton, and a summary of the neighborhood meeting was sent to you after the agenda was sent out. We didn't have time to get it in with the agenda. So planning staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board determine the proposed rezoning of Seminole Point, application 5064, is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and recommend approval to City Council to reconfigure the existing high-intensity commercial, COM3, and multifamily residential, MFR2, zoning districts on the property. The next steps would be first and second readings to City Council for the zoning map amendment, and then the technical site plan could go to City Council depending on the number of units. And the applicant is here and has a short presentation for you.
All right, thank you, Jordan. The applicant, please come forward. State your name and address for the record.
Good morning, or good afternoon, board members. Vincent Sullivan, which you went to Law 145 City Place, Palm Coast, Florida. I just wanted to take a second and briefly touch on what Ms. Myers already touched on and kind of just point out exactly where the changes are coming with this application, especially since it's so close on the heels of the last rezoning. So as it sits today, you can look at the top left, the red four-sided figure. That's the parcel one that we're seeking to change from that commercial three, as it's presently entitled today, to multifamily two. That center lot number two, that was the subject of the rezoning from September of 2021, and that's remaining the same at this time. So down on the right, you've got that hard corner between Seminole Woods and US 1. At the time when we did the last rezoning, obviously, Monday morning quarterback at all you want, things changed, and that's why we're here today. So, as we're proposing, as Ms. Myers pointed out, that top left lot, number one, is going to be multifamily two, and we're reconfiguring or reshaping the commercial use, still keeping it basically the breadth of lot four as it butts up against the corner of US 1 and Seminole Woods, and expanding it over to that intake Woods Drive. And just another side-by-side map for your folks to take a look at and kind of see exactly where it's changing. The picture on the left is what we're proposing, and the picture on the right is what is currently allowed today. And this is what's necessitating the change to this project. We've had multiple different conversations with some potential tenants on the property, and to make sure we've got enough room for the impervious and the stormwater and everything, it's necessitating the change to enlarge this commercial area, or rather consolidate it to one location as opposed to split to two parcels. Our engineer is here. He can answer questions if you like, and the applicant property owner is here as well.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions from the board of the applicant or staff?
Excuse me, I have a question. So there's an existing drive that goes from Integra Woods onto your property. So is that, and it looks like that now abuts to the multifamily. Are you going to add an additional drive to the shopping center, which appears here, so that people don't have to drive out from Integra Woods onto Seminole Woods Parkway and back into the shopping center?
Correct. The conceptual plan right now is going to be two separate drives, one for the commercial, one for the multifamily, so we get that internal capture and don't put unnecessary trips on either US 1 or Seminole Woods.
Okay. And then next question is, so What's gonna be developed first, the commercial or the multifamily?
Multifamily will ultimately be developed first, and as Ms. Myers pointed out, as that multifamily comes online and we get bodies in these homes, that's hopefully going to draw in the commercial tenants that we're talking to right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board?
Is there any effort to hire locally when these projects go into construction?
I don't believe we've looked at who's going to actually be doing the construction at this juncture.
As a general rule, do you look to the area to see if they're, you know, advertised to the area for professionals and construction workers?
We can certainly reach out to local contractors if that's what you're asking, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes. Are there going to be any impacts to the wetlands? Any mitigation?
There will be some impacts to the wetlands. The amount and the extent of those impacts are currently still being determined as we're in engineering. I know we are working on a technical site plan, and we're working with St. John's River, and we do have an environmental permit as well that we're working on. So there will be some impacts to the wetlands. We're trying to make them as minimal as possible. I believe the last site plan I saw was about 2 acres of impacts.
Thank you.
And you said you expected the multifamily to develop first?
Yeah, the multifamily that abuts next to the currently existing Integra Woods project will likely be the first portion of multifamily that gets built. And then it's just going to be a question of, is that commercial need there, or do we need to continue going that northeasterly route onto Lot 2, that center property that we're not changing the zoning, to finish drawing that commercial?
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the board? All right, thank you. Seeing none, this is a public hearing. We'll open the public hearing. Any member of the public that wishes to address the board on this subject, come forward, state your name and address for the record. You'll have 3 minutes to address the board. All right, seeing no one come forward, we'll close the public hearing and come back to the board. Can you put the staff recommendation up? You're way ahead of me. Any member can move to approve or second the motion, even if the member intends to vote against the motion. The motion is phrased a motion to approve simply to get the board to the yes or no vote. So does the board care to make a motion?
I move to approve application number 5064. And that's it.
Okay. Is there a second?
I don't mean to jump in. Would you consider determining whether or not you find it consistent with the comprehensive plan to your motion?
So your motion includes the fact that it's consistent with the comp plan?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not realize that. Oh. Thank you.
It is, yeah, 5064 is consistent with the comprehensive plan.
Okay, so now we need a second to the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Ms. Schenck.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
The motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any staff issues to address for the board?
No, sir.
No?
Actually, did want to remind you, you have a CATF meeting on
next
June
Wednesday.
22nd.
Okay.
If you cannot attend, please let me know.
Michael, one second.
And Jackie will be recording secretary for that meeting.
I know you're going on vacation.
I am.
I'll let you know now, Irene. I won't be here that night. That is my anniversary, so I won't be here on June 22nd.
Will not be. Okay. Happy anniversary.
And Irene, I will not be here the meeting in July. I'll be out of town that whole week.
Okay.
Other than that, anything else from the board? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Second. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Good job.
We're adjourned.
Good job.
Shorter than long.